Hey, Church on the Ridge, so great having you. Thank you for joining us for our online church gathering. It really is cool. It's a bummer. As a pastor and me being a, hyper extrovert, I really miss interacting with you and shaking your hand, but thank you for joining us. And thank you for interacting down the side and letting us see your comments. And it's really fun having that. I hope you'll join us in that. Today is Palm Sunday, which means next week is Easter. And we want you to invite all your friends, your family members to join us online for a very special Easter experience that we're going to have together. We're going to serve communion. That's going to be interesting, but you'll see how that's going to work. And we're going to celebrate the risen Lord, and whatever doubt, whatever discouragement, whatever fear you may have, whatever disease, coronavirus, you may be afraid of, the power of Christ Jesus, the power of the resurrection has set us free from that. And so we want you to walk in that freedom and invite your friends who may be scared and this time, fearful in this time from whatever's going on. So Easter Sunday next week. We've been in this series, March Madness, and we know it's not March anymore, but it's still crazy. It's still a mad season. And we've been talking through the story of the Good Samaritan. And when I think about the Good Samaritan, I think about all the people in our church, in our community who are in the healthcare world. My wife is a director at the hospital, and we have nurses and doctors and a bunch of techs and help support in the medical field that are part of our church. Could we stop and pray for them right now and ask God's protection over them? Father, I thank you, God, for those who are in the world of serving others through the power of medicine, even like that Good Samaritan, God, who gave his bandages and oil and served that guy who was dying. I pray, Father, that our nurses and doctors and medical staff would feel the power of God flowing through them, and they would sense and know that you are with them. God, that you would protect them, Lord. Let this virus stay away from them, Father. They would be strong and have the confidence and the courage to do what they've been called to do, and they would do it with a sense of the presence of Jesus flowing in them and through them in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. All of you that serve in the medical world, God bless you guys. Thinking of disease and death, you think about eternity. You can't help but think about what happens after death. Well, there was a guy in the Bible that we've been looking at. He was a smart guy. He came to Jesus and said, hey, what do I got to do to live? What about the life after this life? How do I beat death? And Jesus said, well, you've got a Bible. What does it say to you? And the guy said, well, it says to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Yeah. And he goes on, he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus was really proud of the guy. He looks at him and says, man, good answer. If you do this, you'll live. If you'll do those things, love God and love your neighbor, man, that's where life happens. That's where eternal life happens. That's what secures your future, when God is the first and foremost in your heart and your neighbor is right there with God in your heart and you're serving. And the guy says, well, hey, wait, I'm just making sure I'm understanding this. Who exactly is my neighbor? Right? He understood the God part, but he didn't quite get the neighbor part. And Jesus says, well, there was a guy walking from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. And he was stripped and beaten, left half dead. And along comes a pastor. Pastor sees him there and says, you know what? I'm not touching that coronavirus half dead guy. And he walks over on the other side. And then a church member comes by, a deacon. And he sees him and he says, yeah, I'm not going to get involved in that mess either. That's way too much. And finally, a guy from out of town, a guy from another country, not part of his family, not part of his tribe, not part of his community, nothing. And he gets off his donkey, the Bible says, and he begins to bandage the guy up, begins to serve the guy, takes him to the inn, pays the innkeeper the money to take care of him, says, hey, if you spend more than this, when I come back through, I'll take care of you. I'll pay the bill. Amazing story. And Jesus said, hey, you go and do likewise, after he asked the guy which one was his neighbor. And that's what our call is. This is Palm Sunday. How does Palm Sunday relate to the story of the Good Samaritan? Well, in a number of ways. One of the ways is there's a donkey in both the stories, and we're going to focus on the donkey in the story right now. Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Let me read it to you. It's found in Luke chapter 19. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all this, he went on toward Jerusalem. As he was getting near Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples on ahead and he told them, go into the next village where you will find a young donkey, there he is, that has never been ridden. Untie the donkey and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Just say, the Lord needs it. They went off and found everything just as he had said. While they were untying the donkey, his owners asked, hey, why are you doing that? They answered, the Lord needs it. The Lord has need of it. Remember that phrase, the Lord needs it. Jesus, he kind of ups the game from the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan got off his donkey and served, and Jesus in this story is asking the guy to give up his donkey. Will you give up your donkey? The Lord asked you for it. You know, it's actually true for us today. The Lord needs your donkey. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, by the raise of hands, how many of you own a donkey? How many of you own a donkey? Actually, I can't see you. You know, I'm just going to assume that nobody has their hands up because it's just not something very common in our part of the world today that we own a donkey. If you're out there, God bless you. The Lord needs your donkey. But since none of the rest of us own donkeys, how can we apply this story to us? God's not asking me for my donkey. Well, what does the donkey really represent? Let's look at it. Number one, that which is valuable. What do you have that's valuable? See, back in the day, the rich are the only ones who owned donkeys. You read your Bible and you can see that anybody who owned a donkey, they had money, they had means, they had some wealth. And so owning a donkey meant you had wealth, and the donkey itself was very valuable. So Jesus went up to this guy, or actually Jesus, you know, asked this guy not to give him some kind of like a worthless cat or something, just a pathetic, you know, animal. He asked for a donkey, a very valuable animal. God always asks for our very best. He asked for that which is valuable. He doesn't want our leftovers. The Good Samaritan, he gave enough and he gave more. If you're tight with your money and with your valuables, you are missing the heart of God. When you and I are tight with our stuff, our valuables, we hang on to it, we're actually missing the heart of the God of the universe. When Jesus looks at you and he says, I need that valuable thing that you've got tied up right over there, Do you go, here, Lord, you can have it? Or do you pull back, begin to argue, and begin to hang on to it? See, when you and I give to God, we are most like Jesus. When you and I give, we are most like the Father in heaven. The most famous verse in all the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. But he didn't just give, and then it qualifies what he gave. It says he gave his only son. And you think about that. I have two boys. And my heart begins, I don't, no. But God says, hey, I'm giving the most valuable entity that I have, my own son, for you. You know, I watch people who are Christ followers, and they tend to hold on, and they give God the leftovers, or they give God the last, they give God the least. And the Bible's very clear. In Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Notice it doesn't say last fruits. It says give him the first. And then in Exodus 23, it says it like this. Bring the best of your first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. To the house of the Lord your God. He's talking about the tithe. He's talking about, hey, God, you get the first of all that I make. You know, Sandy and I, we've lost approximately a third of our retirement over this last downturn. I don't know if it's going to come back. I hope it will. Probably, maybe. Who knows? It could keep going down. You watch the stock market, and who knows? But it's scary. A third. But the very first check that we write, and we don't write check now. I get on my computer and I push the little button. I know some people on our staff like to write checks, but I push the button. But the very first button that I push is the one to my church, to where I tithe. And, you know, we don't, that doesn't bother us a bit. We've not stopped. We've not let it drop. We've continued because Jesus deserves first place. And he is asking me for that which is valuable. And that 10%, that's value. That means something to me. You know, you might be saying, well, you know, this guy, Jesus was asking him, you know, hey, if Jesus asked me for something, then I probably do it. Well, think of the story. Jesus didn't go up to the house and knock on the door and say, hi, I'm Jesus. And by the way, do you think I could, Jesus, that Jesus. Yeah, the Son of God, Jesus, yeah. Okay, do you think I could borrow your donkey? You'd be like, oh, wow, Jesus at the door. Yeah, sure, of course. You know, you might be saying, but what did Jesus do? He sent a couple of his servants, a couple of his apostles, a couple of his followers. Say, hey, you guys go, check, you know, and if they ask you, just say the Lord needs it. And what did the guy do? Okay, the Lord needs it. It's his. maybe thinking, really? The Lord needs it. The Lord needs my money. The Lord needs my valuables. The Lord needs my donkey. Well, let me answer that for you, because the answer is both yes and no. No, the Lord doesn't need your donkey. Because if this man had not given up his donkey, Jesus would have found another donkey. There would have been a donkey. There would have been somebody who would have willingly said, Lord, you can use my donkey. You can have my donkey. God, you deserve my donkey. You get it all. There would have been a guy that would have said, yes, Lord, you can have it. So no, the Lord doesn't need your donkey, but the Lord does need a donkey, someone's donkey. One day, you and I are going to stand before God. And do I want to be the guy that when Jesus looks at me and says, hey, you know that time when I sent my servant to ask you for your valuable and you held on to it? And all I can do is kind of look down at my shoes, because I know he's exactly what he's talking about, because I held on to my valuables tight and I owned them like they were mine instead of the first fruits of his. You know, Jesus tells this story about the sheep and the goat, of when we are going to stand before him. He's talking about the end of times when, you know, Armageddon takes place. And who knows, we may be in the end of times, but he tells you what's going to happen. He says, I'm going to put the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. The goats are bad. The sheep are good. The goats held on to their stuff. The sheep let go of their stuff. And the people are going to look at Jesus and say, Jesus, you know, what are you talking about? He says, well, the sheep are the ones who fed me when I was hungry and clothed me when I was naked and visited me in prison. And they go, Jesus, when did you ever do that? And he says, look at this. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? And when did we see you naked? And when did we clothe you? And then it's that famous verse 40 that says, and the king will say, I tell you the truth, right? When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me. When you give your donkey, when you give your valuables, when you give your tithe to help serve this community and help bring the message of love and hope and grace, and we help serve the poor and the needy, you are doing it to Jesus. Are you hanging on to your valuables? Or are you holding them and saying, God, they're yours. They're yours. The second thing we see in this story is that we're to live in peace and not war. Notice that Jesus came in as the king. They're shouting, the king is here. Hosanna to the king, the son of David. And he's riding on a donkey. You know, he could have told his guys, hey, guys, when you go into the next village, you're going to see a horse tied up there. Grab the horse. If somebody asks you for the horse, tell them the Lord needs it and then bring it to me. But no, you know. And you think about a horse and you go, hey, a horse is a symbol of power, a symbol of war, domination. A donkey? You want a donkey, Lord? Really? No one's ever been afraid of a donkey. You never get afraid. Oh, no, the cavalry's coming. They're riding on a herd of donkeys. Like, yeah, it's kind of a joke, right? No, the donkeys were a symbol of peace. Zechariah 9:9, hundreds of years before this, Zechariah the prophet he saw into the future and saw this day. And he said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, riding righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. You're to bring peace and not war, not fighting, not bickering. When President Trump last week, whenever it was, made the proclamation that's going to be another month of being, you know, sheltered in place, sequestered to your home, physical distancing, all that stuff. I'm like, whoa, I'm going to be cooped up for another month. Are you serious? Some of you are thinking, what? You know, in my home with my family and all the stuff. You know, someone in China wrote about how in China, because of this quarantine, the divorce rate has gone way up. I thought that was wild. You know, a lot of bickering might be going on there. They're threatening that it's probably going to happen here as well, because people being close together, it's going to cause the divorce rate to go up. Somebody also wrote that in 9 months, we're going to see the birth rate go way up. A lot of babies being born. Well, that sounds to me like the opposite of war. But, you're going to choose one of the two. You're going to live in peace or you're going to live in frustration. Let me submit to you that Jesus was asking for your donkey to be one riding in with peace and not fighting. You can ride in on a horse and dominate, power up, ride in a donkey in peace. You know, a lot of Christians like to be a cross between a donkey and a horse. You know, we kind of want the horse and donkey thing. And what do you get when you cross a donkey and a horse? I think the term is a mule. And a mule is known for what? Being stubborn. And some of us are so stubborn and we will not let go of our stuff. We won't let go of our donkey. We won't get off our donkey. Let me give you 7 ways, right, to lay down your stubbornness through this COVID experience there in your home. Number one, give up your stubbornness for being quiet, for being silent. Remember Shrek? Be like Shrek. Shrek was a talking donkey, you know, and at one point he's a flying talking donkey. But, you know, what a great time to interact with your spouse, to talk with your spouse, to have honest conversation. What a great time to actually talk with your kids. So many parents tell me, I don't know how to talk to my teenager. I don't know what to say. We don't ever talk. Man, this is your chance that God has given you to get out of your stubbornness, get out of your pride, get out of your fear, and begin to talk, right? Be communicative. Use your body language. Allow people to feel like you're approachable. The tone of your voice, the smile on your face. Use their name in a way that is, look at the way Song of Solomon put it. He said, your name is perfume poured out. Are you like me? I hate to admit it, but you know, Caleb, that was anything but perfume. Does he hear perfume being poured out, or does he hear this harsh stench being communicated? What is your family here? Give up your stubbornness. Give up your donkey for being quiet. You know, say, hey, I've only got 5,000 words and I used them all at work. And so now begin to talk to your family. Number two, the stubbornness of the donkey of being right. You know, do you always have to be right? You're there in your home and you're checking everything out and you're going, hey, I'm right. They're wrong. I know. So you have to, you know, exert your rightness in that experience. No. First Samuel says, stop acting so proud. Check this out. Don't speak with such arrogance, for the Lord is God. He knows what you've done. Just stop being proud and haughty. You don't have to promote yourself and say, hey, I'm right. Look, God will judge. He will judge your actions. Let him judge. Don't let other people judge him. Number three, time for your spouse. I mentioned talking to your spouse, but what about just being with your spouse? Making time together. Intentional time. I like what Amos 3:3 says. Will a couple walk in unity without having met? You're like, well, no, it's a rhetorical question. But I think about it all the time in couples that I meet with. And I look at them and go, do you guys even know each other? Have you met? When was the last time you just spent some time together? When was the last time you went on a date? Pastor Kevin's going to come up with this idea of having a date night while you're sequestered to your house. You know, begin to give up that stubbornness and say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with my spouse. I like 1 Corinthians 7. I'm not going to read it to you, but I want you and your wife or you and your husband to read it when church is over today, all right? Don't let your kids be around. You guys just read it together, okay? Number four, speaking of kids, help with the kids. Help with the kids. Get off your donkey and help with the kids. When you hear them pulling their hair out, fighting each other, and you're trying to get your stuff, this is a time to get off your chair, off your donkey, and give. Don't let your stubbornness say, oh, I'll let him deal with it. I'll let her deal with it. Engage with your kids. Ephesians 6 says, render service with a good attitude. Man, be a parent. Engage with your kids. Help with the kids. Number five, clean up. Clean up without being asked. You know, that's one thing that just blesses my wife when I actually clean up. She doesn't have to tell me, hey, your stuff's laying there. Hey, do you mind putting this away? And I just do it. And sometimes I think I deserve like a pat on the back for it. Hey, look, did you see I cleaned up without being asked? Like, really, you want a pat on the back for that? That's just like life. It's just like living in the house. And sometimes I forget that. But I just want to remind you, if you want to live in peace and not war, pick up after yourself. The place gets smaller and smaller every day. So just clean up. Number six, no complaining. Compliment. Don't complain. Oh man, we're here again. Oh man, another day with this coronavirus. Oh no, another day with the president talking about. Oh no, another day with Cuomo talking about. Oh no, another day. You know, all the stuff. Don't go there. You know, and you might want to take this verse. I love this verse, Philippians 2. says, do everything without complaining and arguing. You might want to put that on your fridge. You might want to put it in really big letters, right, around your house and remind your kids, this is what the Bible says, boys, you know, kids, this is a word for me. Do everything without complaining, without arguing. If you'll let that just rule your life, I promise you'll have much more peace and not a lot of battles going on. Number seven, last one, give hugs. Give hugs, man. Embrace. Let there be some physical contact between you and your kids and your spouse. Don't let this physical distancing thing keep you from enjoying the commitment and the connection with your family. You know, even Jesus in Mark 10, he says he took the little ones in his arms and he blessed them. And he laid his hands upon them. Jesus was a guy who had no problem reaching out and embracing people and showing physical affection to them. And you know, if you're single and you're not married, you know, hey, how do I put it? You can do it with your kids, right? If you've got kids, and you can certainly do it with the people around you. Be a purveyor of peace, right? Don't be stubborn and say, well, I'll wait for them to call me before, you know, I call them. No, get off your donkey. Give your donkey. Give that yourself away to serve the people around you. Number three, let me close. The donkey was tamed by Jesus. It's tamed by Jesus. The donkey that said no one had ever ridden on it. It was unbroken. And yet, wherever Jesus led it to go, it would go. Wherever Jesus wanted it to go, the donkey would just go. The donkey followed his commands. The animal recognized that Jesus is Lord of all. You know, there's only one animal in all of creation that doesn't immediately do the bidding of the King of the universe, of Jesus? Humans. Humans are the only animals that don't immediately obey Jesus. The people were shouting as Jesus was coming in, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were calling him Lord, saying, Hosanna. They were calling him Savior, both Savior and Lord. Jesus is both Savior and Lord. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Both Lord and Savior. You know, you'll never get off your donkey unless you have decided that Jesus is Lord. Has he tamed your heart? Has he broken you? Have you come to that place in your life where you said, Jesus, you know what? There's no other option. You are the King of the universe. You are the Son of God. You are the one that deserves my full devotion, my full attention. You know, a few weeks ago, somebody had written on the side there, we're asking you to do the little comments. They said, no Jesus, no peace. N-O Jesus, N-O peace. And then they followed up with K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. No, Jesus, no peace. In order to know him, to have peace, you must know that he is Lord. Because if you don't recognize him as Lord, then you don't know him. Then he's not who you think he is. Your life is the only life, the only thing that Jesus cannot have by simply declaring it. He could have anything else. You just speak it and it's his. And it's the one thing that Jesus has need of. The Good Samaritan got off his donkey and helped the man in the ditch. Jesus, on that Palm Sunday, got off his donkey and was headed towards the cross, to where he got down in the ditch and got up on that cross so that you and I could be transformed and saved and experience peace for today and peace for tomorrow. And eternal life is yours and mine, that heaven is real, that God takes care of our past and secures our future. Will you get off your donkey and give your life to Jesus? Are you willing to let him lead your life? If you're going to live through this corona crisis, you need Jesus. What else are you putting your hope in? What else are you anchoring your life upon? You know, let me ask you, what are you holding on to today? What valuables are you putting your trust in? Are you willing to let them go? What fights are you battling? What things in your life are you just, you're pounding the table and saying, hey, I'm right, and you won't just let it go? And it's causing war instead of peace. Are you riding in on a horse? Are you stubborn like a mule? Are you coming in on a peaceful donkey saying, Jesus is my peace and I will bring peace? Has he tamed your heart? He wants to bring healing and grace to you today. Give him your heart. The Bible says the Lord has need of it. Father, I thank you, God, for my friends. God, I thank you for this great church where, God, people can experience the real life in Christ Jesus. God, I pray that people would recognize who you are and what you are. And those who are living in fear and are bound by just the effects of this crazy world we're living in, God, that they would experience that presence of the power of God in them, and they would know Jesus and know peace. And God, for so many of us who are holding on tightly, God, we confess this morning our sin of not letting go of that which is valuable and saying it all belongs to you. Jesus, right now we repent. We willingly give it up. God, take it. And Jesus, first and foremost, take my heart, all of me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we believe if you prayed that prayer, as the Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you're saved. You've been transformed. You become a follower of Christ. And we'd love for you to let us know. Would you mark it on your connection card there in the app that you're using? If you can't find the app, drop me an email, charlie@churchontheridge.org. And I told you, if you've been watching our daily encouragements, that I've got a special announcement to make. Now, I don't know how special it is. I think it's cool to me because I've never done it before, but I'm going to do a live Facebook casting experience where you can interact with me tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I'm going to do it by walking you through our new facility, our brand new building. I want to take you through it. I want you to experience it. And it's on Monday night, 7 o'clock. So I hope you join us and hope you interact with me. Don't miss it. Love you guys. We'll see you next weekend.